I'd like to continue from the Gospel of Luke chapter 14 this morning. And the message begins the chapter. A Pharisee, obviously not one of those who was so critical and spiteful of Jesus that they wanted to kill him. This is a more receptive man who graciously invites Jesus to join him in a meal and some fellowship in his home. He asked a probing question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And I introduced my message last Sunday with the question, is there ever a time when it is not the right time to do right? Jesus, by the very act and by the very question and how he answers that question for us. There is never a wrong time to do right. But Jesus continues teaching beyond where we'll probably go today, using mealtimes and gatherings and special occasions to teach lessons about something far more important. I begin this morning with verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lower room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The common form of a table and eating of meals, whether the common meal in the home or a special occasion with perhaps a greater table in the sense that we would think of it, was typically a U-shaped table, not a high table where you sit as we do, but more likely a lower table where you lie on cushions, probably on your left side, and reach in and get food from the table. It's in the U shape. The man of honor is sitting at the bottom of the U. And you go around, and obviously in the culture of the Jewish people, the closer you sat to the man of honor, the greater you claimed or had a position of honor for yourself. Jesus says, if you take a spot right up there by the honored man, and someone far more prestigious than you comes in, you're going to be shamed and pushed down to the lower end. Jesus makes this a parable. Most parables in the Gospels are parables about, as Jesus introduces most of them, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. This is a, quote, parable about individual conduct. The word parable means literally to lay alongside. You teach a lesson here, and it is a significant lesson, but you use something common and clearly understood to make your point. Jesus is not teaching about banquet ethics. He's using banquet ethics to teach us a lesson about life. It's almost as if Jesus was referring to and using a passage from the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. There are two lessons in this chapter I want to spend some time with. Proverbs 25, and I'll begin with verse 6. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. Don't push yourself into a position intruding, as it were. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. And then the closing verse, or verse 27, next to the closing. It is not good to eat much honey, for so men to search their own glory is not glory. I love the pointed, cogent lessons in Proverbs. You don't need to guess what Solomon means when he's writing. And remember from chapter 1, he's writing the Proverbs to his young son. He's trying to teach his young son the lessons of life that he has learned. I love honey, but you learn very quickly if you're eating honey, don't eat a whole lot. It's high sugar content. You'll get a sugar overload in a very good hurry. So you don't eat a lot of honey. And Jesus says, or Solomon says, there's a similarity here. For a person to seek his own glory, to borrow the point, is sickening rather than honorable to the man. He who promotes himself is the person who is in the end going to be taken down. There's a poem I've read to you on occasion that says, the way up is down. You want to rise in the service and honor of God in your life? Don't claw to push yourself up and forward. Look for reasons to go down and to serve. Look for reasons to take the spotlight off of you, not get it on you. And instead of seeking people looking up to you and your honored self, look for ways to quietly serve. Jesus instituted in John 13 a practice that almost all modern churches symbolize and ignore the reality of what he taught. And if we practice what Jesus taught in John 13, the servant's duty to wash the feet of the honored guest. We want too many times to be the honored guest and say, yeah, you need to come wash my feet. You need to come serve me. But what does Jesus say? No, you need to be down here at your brother's feet, serving, doing what you can for him. And so it brings you to this, for us humans, an incredible obligation, a contradiction to our human nature. You want what's best for you. You want to get what's good and best. While ambition may be a great thing on the job, ambition is not a good thing in the house of God. Let's go look back at the lesson for a moment. Brother Jim told a story from his early days in the church, and he was stationed in an Air Force base in western Pennsylvania, and he learned about some primitive Baptist churches in eastern Ohio and started attending them and joined the church there. And that was his beginning with our people. He told about attending a special meeting, a lot of preachers present. And there was a young man newly ordained. They put him in the pulpit like, you know, you have a big meeting Saturday morning. The most people are in attendance. Everybody's there. Everybody's up. Kind of, for a preacher, the honored time to preach. And they put him in that position. And when he stood up, it was flat as a pancake. He could not find anything worthwhile to say. And in just a few minutes, he bowed his head in shame and disappointment and walked out of the pulpit. Best thing a preacher can do when the Lord's not there is to get down quickly. And there was a wise old brother, not a preacher, sitting on the front pew. He stood to greet the young man, and he shook his hand, and he said, young man, it's not always as bad as you think it is. Good advice for a young preacher who just made a big flop. About 6 months later, there's another special meeting. Same brother is in attendance. And they put him up. I don't know what time it was, but they put him up, and the Lord blessed him. He preached a powerful sermon. And when he came down out of the pulpit, the same old brother greeted him, shook his hand, and said, young man, it's not always as good as you think it is. I think there's a lesson there to be learned. It's easy for a preacher to say, well, I preached here and I preached there. And I have done that, I admit. But I think sometimes Because you speak in the pulpit doesn't mean you preached. If the Lord doesn't come and bless you, you don't preach, you try to preach. Defining difference between preaching and not preaching is whether the Lord's there to bless, and there's the fruit of that blessing in the message. It's so contradictory to our humanity, what Jesus teaches here. So contradictory. Romans 12, verse 3. Beautiful, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, not living monuments, not living trophies, but a living sacrifice to God. And then in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, this is a lesson to every believer in the church, every one of us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. A great measure of faith will not exalt a person. It will bring him down. A young preacher starting out preaching begins to study the Bible, thinks, I like that. I'm going to get that thing mastered after a while. And then he keeps studying, keeps reading. And the longer you study, I've just finished 70 years trying to preach. The longer you study, the longer you experience the service of God, the more you're going to learn how little you know, how very little you know, and how much you need to know. The grace of God doesn't exalt, it humbles us. Faith, that incredible sense of knowledge and confidence in the character and reliability of the God we serve, it doesn't exalt us, it brings us down. What a God who did for me what I could not have done for myself, who gave me what I didn't deserve, who did not give me what I did deserve, took me who was an enemy to him, an alien from anything good, and he not only saved me from the wrath to come, he made me a member of his own spiritual heavenly family. You're now not a child of wrath, but a child of the King. Amen. Oh my goodness, how much God has done for me. How humbled I am at what he's done. And how much I need to show that love by serving. This is a blessing beyond measure. I'm going to give most of the time this morning to our dear brother Tyler. But what a lesson it is that we need to learn. I love you. God bless.